The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking about lineup projections and minutes projections, starting with the Central Division. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! He's responsible!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Thanks for tuning in again to another Fantasy Basketball Podcast with yours truly. Today we are going to be starting a new series, hoping to get about 6 podcasts here for each of the divisions. Just going to be walking through and discussing the starting lineups, main bench rotation, as well as the minutes distributions for each of the teams in all the divisions. So hopefully after these 6 podcasts, we've covered all 30 teams and we can sort of have that first kind of glance over on what we expect the minutes to look like for each of these teams and where we can maybe start to pick out some rotation battles or anything that we might want to be watching a bit more closely in preseason, in training camp, notice some things that maybe there's a bit of value in certain teams and certain positions. So this is going to be sort of our first glance over. And then once we've gone through all these guys, then we can start getting into a bit more of that classic fantasy podcast areas where we're starting to talk about mock drafts and sleepers, busts, all these kind of things, and a few other interesting shows lined up for you guys. But starting today, we're going to be talking about the Central Division. Going to go through a couple of teams, so 5 teams from this one here. We'll leave some of those divisions that have some of the teams that aren't yet decided, like the Knicks, Nets, Utah. Those teams are a little bit more towards the end, just in case there is a trade that happens in the next couple of days. So we'll leave those ones to the end. So we might be jumping around a little bit here from east to west, but that's all right. We'll get through all 30 teams. But let's go through the Central Division today. Firstly, we're going to start with the Chicago Bulls. So we'll go through basically for all of these teams, their starting lineup, the bench, and then next to everyone's name will be the amount of minutes that I'm projecting for each player. Now, obviously, these minutes, we have to assume, or I think you do, I think we should be assuming everyone's healthy, unless we know specifically otherwise. So assuming everyone's healthy, this is how I project the minutes to go. Okay. Now, obviously, if you've got someone who's resting on a back-to-back or someone's out for injuries, these minutes might not actually reflect the minutes that happen throughout the season, but this is what I would expect the teams to sort of go with when everyone's available. Okay, so let's start with the Chicago Bulls. Pretty stock standard starting five. I don't really think you can argue much with this starting five. You've got Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams comes back into the fray, and Nikola Vucevic as well. Now, I think from everyone in there, The lineup itself, I don't think you can really argue. The minutes you can maybe nitpick here and there. I think a couple of things to highlight in that starting lineup. As you can see for both Lonzo and Nikola Vucevic or Vucevic, however which way you want to pronounce his name. I think that they both will look to maybe lose a couple of minutes this season. I think because of the addition of, when we talk about the bench soon, Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond. There's some more capable backups there. And I also, in particular with Lonzo, I think that his knee issues the last couple of seasons have been not sounding good. So I think that the Chicago Bulls, whilst they've got a lot of depth at the guard position, will probably look to lighten his load a little bit. Maybe he's a candidate to rest back-to-backs and things like that. Haven't heard too much on that front from the news point of view so far, but I do expect at least when he's in the lineup to be a starting player, to get close to that 30 minutes, but I don't expect him to push much more than that. I think he was playing more minutes than that in previous seasons. So I do expect a little bit of regression in terms of his minutes. The same for Vucevic with Andre Drummond behind him. Nothing too crazy, but maybe just a couple of minutes here and there with someone like Drummond backing him up. I still think he should get to about 30 minutes a night, but it wouldn't shock me if it's a little bit less. It wouldn't shock me at all because Drummond gives something that Vucevic doesn't. He's obviously a prolific rebounder, a bigger body. Obviously, he doesn't have the shooting touch or the passing ability that a Vucevic has, but it's just a different type of center to a Vucevic. Someone's a bit more power than Vucevic's finesse, so there might be different matchups that they like to use Drummond a bit more, maybe Drummond a bit less, but I think overall we might see a dip in Vucevic's value. I think LaVine and DeRozan, you're going to get big minutes. You're going to get 34 to 35 minutes a night. I don't think that's going to change. I do expect, last year I was wrong on DeRozan. I thought DeRozan was going to lose a lot of usage, but he came in and basically had his best season of his career. What is he, age 33? Which was surprising, to say the least, but I do expect that maybe we see a little bit of regression from that again this season, but more or less the same. And for LaVine, maybe to maybe increase a little bit. I think DeRozan had 36 minutes whilst LaVine was 34. I've kind of just got them both here at 35. I think they'll both kind of be on, or most of the time they'll have at least one of those guys on the court at any given moment. If we go over to the bench, these are the main guys I expect to be getting minutes here. You got Alex Caruso, Andre Drummond, Goran Dragic is an interesting one, and then Ayodesunmu and Javonte Green, which means that there's a few notable guys that I've left out of the regular rotation in Kobe White, Dalen Terry, and Derek Jones Jr., who did get minutes last year. I want to touch on Goran Dragic. It's an interesting one because if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't be playing Goran Dragic many minutes. But it sounds like from reports that Goran Dragic was either promised minutes when he signed there, or he's under some kind of disillusion that he earns those or he deserves those minutes. And so that's interesting. I wonder what's true, or maybe a little bit of both or something like that. Potentially we see Dragic getting some more minutes early in the season, and someone like a Dalen Terry might pick up some minutes late in the season, or a Kobe White. That's an interesting one. I don't know. I might be more inclined to play a Kobe White over Dragic at this stage in his career, but in any which way, the addition of him just makes that backcourt a bit crowded. I think you're going to find that Alex Caruso might lose a couple of minutes. I still have him projected at 24 minutes a night. So obviously the sixth man in the team in his defense will be really, really important. And again, this is assuming that Lonzo Ball is healthy, which is a big assumption. He might not be healthy, and the depth will most likely be tested this season. But whilst everyone is healthy, it is going to be interesting to see who loses out in this rotation. Right now, I've got Kobe White losing out to start the season. I would be surprised by the end of the season if that's Dragic, again, assuming everyone is healthy, which is probably not a great assumption at this stage. Javonte Green, don't think he's going to play a whole lot of minutes, but he will come kind of step in as like a small ball four. I do expect DeRozan to play a little bit of the four, and everyone kind of shuffle up a little bit. But perhaps Dalen Terry again steps in there. He's bigger, he's longer, he's 6'7" to Javonte's 6'4", so wouldn't surprise me if De La Terry earns some minutes there as the season progresses, or even if a Derek Jones Jr. takes his spot. But at this stage, I've got Javonte Green in there. And then, of course, like we mentioned before, Andre Drummond strictly playing backup center minutes. And in 18 minutes a night, he's not a regular rotation guy on your fantasy rosters, but he is someone who you can definitely stream on low-volume days. So I'm not too excited. Much like last season, you can sort of stream him when you need those rebounds and potential field goal percentage. But other than that, I'm not super excited. So that's the Chicago Bulls. Not a whole lot to change. The return of Patrick Williams is something obviously we're going to be keen to see. But again, from a fantasy point of view, I'm not super high on him. Like, there's just not a lot that he does really, really well. And in a team where you've got DeRozan, LaVine, Vucevic in your starting five, there's just high usage guys who are going to demand the ball a lot. And then Lonzo Ball and Caruso obviously gathering all the assists and defensive numbers. It's just, there's just not a lot left for Patrick Williams. So even in a high 20s minutes role, I'm not super excited and don't see a whole lot of upside for him. But I mean, I guess there are worse players you can draft in a 12-team standard league for categories. So that is the Chicago Bulls. Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. So obviously last season we had the injury to Colin Sexton early in the season. And I think it was Ricky Rubio who also went down. And so Darius Garland picked up a lot of the slack last year. So obviously Colin Sexton is the pink elephant in the room. He hasn't officially signed yet. I think the reports right now are that he's expected to sign a qualifying offer, which means he's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of this coming season. So he will be on the Cavs. So that's the reporting at this stage. I don't think there's been any, I mean, no one's really gone after him. No one's signed him as a restricted free agent or anything like that. So I think he's going to be back on this team. And if he is, it makes things pretty tricky. So for my starting lineup here, I've got Darius Garland, obviously. I've got Colin Sexton starting at the two guard, LeVert at the small forward, and then obviously you've got Mobley and Jarrett Allen. So I think straight away you can lock in Darius Garland, Mobley, and Jarrett Allen. They're not going anywhere. They're the big three in this team, and they're going to get the consistent minutes. I think Mobley's minutes come up. Darius Garland, I think, ended up with 36 minutes last year. Again, probably a little bit of that because of the lack of other guard depth. So drop him back a little bit, and Allen's just going to get his 32. The other guys in LeVert, Sexton, and on the bench when we talk about later, Larry Markkanen, those three players, two of those guys are going to start. You could start LeVert at the two, Markkanen at the three, you could start Colin Sexton at the two, Markkanen at the three, or like I've got here, Sexton at the two and LeVert at the three. I've gone that way just because I feel like the big lineup, whilst it wasn't a disaster, it operated better than I thought it was. I think you don't necessarily need to go with that to start with. You can mix and match it throughout the game, but maybe you just want to start with a little bit more mobility. I don't know. This is one that I'm definitely going to be watching over the preseason. In saying that, though, it doesn't really matter for fantasy purposes because I don't think any of these guys are really going to be fantasy relevant. Maybe Larry Markkanen is the biggest one, but Caris LeVert is just not someone I'm interested in fantasy this year. He's a bad fantasy player. He doesn't put up the steals, the blocks, his percentages are poor, the assists are not high, he doesn't shoot a lot of threes, he's just like a point streaming guy only, and there's a lot of downside, a lot of categories that he detracts from your team. So even in 30 minutes a night, LeVert, I'm not really that keen. So, and then Sexton's a similar kind of story, with better percentages, scores the ball, although I think with the ascension of Garland last year and Mobley another year into his career, I think that usage is going to drop dramatically to when he was that 25-point-per-night guy. He's not going to be that again, I don't think. So the appeal of Colin Sexton is a lot less now. So I think really on this team, the only guys we're paying attention to are Garland, Mobley, and Allen. The rest of them, they're streamers or late-round flyers at best. And even then, I'm not that excited. I don't see too much upside. So I'm watching it, but I'm also, I don't really care. It's not going to affect, unless you're in a deeper league, then you might want to pay attention to that. But in standard 12-team leagues, it's not something I'm really too fussed about, and I'm not targeting any of these guys. If we go to the bench here, we've got Lauri Markkanen as their sort of six-man guy or potential starter. You got your veteran Kevin Love, Isaac Okoro, Ochai Agbaji. I'm expecting to get some minutes, not too many, some limited playing time, 12 minutes a night, and then Chetty Osman as well with that 12 minutes per night. So not a whole lot of exciting stuff on this Cavs roster, but I see that sort of the way it's rolling out. If you have any disagreements, guys, let us know what your thoughts in the question. If your team, if you support a team, let us know your thoughts. Obviously, I'm going based on a bit of a fantasy perspective, trying to take into account previous years and things like that, and where I expect growth to happen and how I see these lineups working out. But if you have an inside fan experience, let me know what your thoughts are. And again, don't forget to leave a like on the video. Let's move on to... where are we up to now? Detroit Pistons. Okay, this is an interesting team. So obviously... they've got a whole lot of guys on this team. Let's go through the starting lineup and what I've got. Point guard, Cade Cunningham, obviously, 35 minutes a night. I think that he's going to really take a step forward this season. Very excited to see what Cade can do in year two. We saw the potential last year. How much that translates to fantasy, I'm optimistic. I think he's got a really good fantasy game. The trouble might be the rest of this roster and how that affects his efficiency. But I still think the raw numbers are going to be pretty tasty for Cade Cunningham this year. Shooting guard, Jaden Ivey, I think he'll start. I'm hoping he'll start day one. Dwayne Casey, if you listen, start Jaden Ivey day one. Small forward, Sadiq Bey. Power forward and center. This is where it gets a bit weird. Isaiah Stewart at power forward and Marvin Bagley at center. Now, the Isaiah Stewart stuff has come from Summer League. They were experimenting with him and Duren in the Summer League. Stewart is apparently trying to become this stretch four, I don't know, Ryan Anderson type player. I don't know how it's going to work, but it seems like they're going to give it a try and who knows, see what happens. And then Marvin Bagley, I've got him starting at center here just kind of based on the contract they gave him. It's, I don't know. This one's a tricky one because there's so many other guys. If we go to the bench, you've got, you know, Nerlens Noel, Isaiah Livers, Kelly Olynyk, and we haven't even mentioned Jalen Duren, who was their rookie pick that they traded for in the draft, who I actually, if it was me, I'd just be starting him day one. Why not? Like, I don't see the point in messing around with these guys that are not your future. Why not start to build chemistry with him and Cade and Ivy from day dot? But anyway, Dwayne Casey, he's the kind of coach that has the reputation of bringing rookies along slowly. They paid Marvin Bagley a whole lot of money, so they're obviously invested in trying to see what he can do. We will see, but I think that's the way they're going to go. I'm a bit worried about it. I don't see a whole lot of value in this team outside of Cade Cunningham. Sadiq Bey is obviously going to give you those threes. Jaden Ivey is going to be rocky to start, like a Jalen Suggs or a Jalen Green to start last season. We know those rookie guards can be rough early on. So if you're drafting him, you've got to be really, really patient. I tend to think that maybe don't worry about it to start drafts unless you're in a deeper team. His value will come more so in the second half of the year once he's caught up to speed. Isaiah Stewart, maybe there's a bit of value there. Maybe he does start to put up some threes and he retains those rebounds and blocks, but I don't see him returning to over 30 minutes a night. I still think he's going to be like that 27, 28 minutes per night guy because they've got these other guys that need minutes as well. They've already said, if we go to the bench, Killian Hayes, Nerlens Noel, Isaiah Livers, Alec Burks, and Kelly Olynyk, other guys I see in the rotation at the start of the season at least. They've already said Nerlens Noel is going to be getting minutes when they traded for him. I don't know why. Like, why do we need to give Nerlens Noel minutes? Like, Jalen Duren, if what I'm predicting comes to pass, Jalen Duren's not getting regular rotation minutes, which just seems crazy to me, but that's kind of the way that it's sounding like, according to a lot of reports and things that I'm hearing from Pistons fans. How long that's the case, I don't know. I do think that by the second half of the season, post All-Star break, Jalen Duren is the one who is at least getting 18 minutes a night as a backup role. Whether or not they're persisting with this Marvin Bagley starting thing, I don't know. I hope not, but I think at least Duren will be getting backup minutes close to 20 per night. But maybe early on, if they're trying to get some value in the trade market for Nerlens Noel or whatever, Kelly Olynyk, that they might be trying to do that. Who knows? That we'll see what that goes. But that's kind of the way I see it going there. Nerlens Noel has value in limited minutes. But so if, for example, like a Marvin Bagley situation fails and they put Noel into a starting lineup, he might be one to monitor. But again, I wouldn't waste a draft pick on him, but he might be someone if I need those blocks and steals and field goal percentage that I just put on my watch list, and any news of Marvin Bagley injured or demoted to the bench, then he's an interesting one to have a look at. But the rest of these guys, Killian Hayes, assist and steals, streamer only, really. No one really of note on this bench for them. So that is the Detroit Pistons. Pretty bare outside of Cade Cunningham, in my opinion. All right, let's move on to the next team, the Indiana Pacers. There's a bit to like here for the Pacers. So let's go through the starting lineup. Tyrese Halliburton at point guard, Buddy Hield at shooting guard. At small forward at this stage, I've got Benedict Mathurin as their starting small forward. Power forward, they've already come out and said that Jalen Smith is going to be starting there. We'll see if that's true or not, but that's the reporting and what the coach has said this far. And Miles Turner as the starting center. At least, assuming he's on this team recording this on the 17th of August. So, obviously, Halliburton, you can lock away. I think you can lock away Buddy Hield, assuming he's still on this team. Again, like Turner, if Turner's on this team, I think you can make him a lock in your starting lineup. The Jalen Smith thing I'm interested in, it does make a bit of sense in a way to kind of try and get the minutes to players like an Isaiah Jackson, a Brissett, even if you wanted to get Goga Badatse in there, still get your Miles Turner minutes. That's probably the way you have to do it, is get Jalen Smith to play kind of exclusively as a four or a power forward. So I do believe it. I do think that that's legit. Obviously, when preseason comes around, that will confirm that. But that's the way I expect it to roll out. And then Benedict Mathurin. I've got him starting over a Chris Duarte. I think he just works a bit better with the starting lineup. He probably doesn't need the ball in his hands as much. He's kind of better moving off screens. I think he's probably got a bit more potential, in my opinion, than Chris Duarte. So I think he'll be starting. But if we move to my bench now, Chris Duarte, I still expect him to get sort of that 25 to 28. So I've got him here at 27 minutes per night. That six-man role. He's going to come in and get shots. I think he's going to be fine. I wasn't a bigger fan of him in the draft, as you, for long-time listeners, might remember. So I'm not too excited about his upside, but he is someone who points threes, maybe a trickle of assists here and there, but that's about it for him. Isaiah Jackson is one that we do definitely need to keep an eye on, and is someone who is, he's a late round flyer. So even in 20 minutes per night, he can definitely put up fantasy value. We saw it last season. Miles Turner, obviously not the most durable of guys. There's trade rumors surrounding him. Foul trouble. There are definitely things to like about having Isaiah Jackson. Even in a 20 minute per night role, he can put up fantasy or standard league value. And if that ever gets to 24, 25, well, they're top 100, top 80 numbers, okay? Because the blocks, the field goal percentage, the rebounds, even the steals are decent for the center position as well. So he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. Excellent per minute guy. I think 20 minutes is me. I'm trying to temper my expectations. I've got a lot of stock in him in Dynasty League, so I want to see him get minutes. I'm a big fan of his, and I think that of all the guys in this team, he's the future, if there is a future. Not to say that he's a franchise-level center, but I think he's the one that I would be prioritizing. So I think that he's definitely someone that we watch. The other interesting one to me was Goga Badatse. Now, obviously, we all know, or most of us know, that Goga's a good per-minute producer, but I think the time of Goga has come and gone. Now, I almost had this team as like a nine-man rotation, but I do think that they'll get Goga in there a little bit. It'll be minimal. It was either him or Aaron Nesmith. And I'm tossing and turning because it is a bit clunky, because that means that either either Jackson plays a bit at the four, Brissett a little bit at the three, which I don't think they want to do. So you know what? It might be Aaron Nesmith. The only thing really that we need to learn from this is that Goga is not really someone that we need to be worrying about. He's not someone I think that we should be getting excited about if we ever see Turner goes out. The guy that we should be getting excited about is Isaiah Jackson. And I think if we go back to that starting lineup, Jalen Smith is someone that we could have sneaky value this year. I think, you know, the rebounds, the threes, the decent blocks, I think the field goal percentage will be fine and solid. I think he'll be decent. He's not going to blow us away. Doesn't have the same upside that Jackson does, but definitely someone too that I think should definitely be drafted. So I think you could see maybe six or seven paces drafted in your fantasy drafts, because there is a little bit of uncertainty there, but there are some good permanent guys on this roster. So very interesting to see how the Pacers shape up in the preseason. Last team we'll go through in this podcast today. It's a nice boring one to finish off. Nice and easy. The Milwaukee Bucks, basically cut and paste what they did last year. It's going to be pretty similar. The only new addition they have to this season is Marjon Beauchamp, the rookie that they drafted coming in. So basically, starting lineup, you got your point guard, Drew Holiday. Grayson Allen, I've got starting shooting guard, is probably the only contentious one. Small forward, Chris Middleton, Giannis at power forward. And I've got Brook Lopez at center, probably playing fewer minutes than his backup, Bobby Portis, but he's kind of like that ceremonial starter. Starts the game with Giannis, spreads the floor. He's going to play limited minutes, I would think, just based on his age and his issues and history with injuries, and there's just no real need. Bobby Portis is good enough to come in and take those minutes as well. Maybe play a little bit of power forward as well together with Giannis at the three, but I think I'm not very excited about Brook Lopez anymore. Yes, his blocks are nice, but I think that there are more block upside guys out there, and I wouldn't, again, waste my time drafting a Lopez at the end of the draft when his upside is limited. So you're really only thinking about Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton does have that wrist injury. He might not be ready for the opening night games, but I don't think he's far away. So I have included him in this list, but just keep in mind he is dealing with that wrist injury from the playoffs. I think he had surgery in the offseason. Touch and go for the start of the season. Giannis obviously there. Bobby Portis, he probably is worth drafting at the back end of your draft. Upside, it's a moderate upside. It's not someone who I'm super excited about, but probably should be drafted. And the rest is just filler rotation. Grayson Allen, is he someone that you should be drafting? Probably, I would say not. I'm not very excited. I think he's just a 3-point stream only. I'm not very excited about him. He's going to be in like a bit of a position battle with Pat Connaughton and himself. So I think they're going to be both in the mid to high 20s or one high 20s, one low 20s. I've got Grayson getting 27 here. Not enough for me for him to get fantasy value. He would need more minutes, more usage to do that. And he's just not going to get that on this team. As for the rookie, I've got him edging out Serge Ibaka for that last rotation spot. It could be Ibaka. I just think that they want to continue to do a little bit of youth. I think he provides what they need in defense and athleticism and just someone who's a bit more mobile than Ibaka at this stage. And I think Ibaka's really only a center, and I think that's covered by Portis and Lopez on this team. So Marjon seems a bit more like that power forward, that running kind of the lanes kind of type that I think that they prefer. So that will do it for today, guys, in the breakdown for the Central Division. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you disagree with any of the minutes or rotations that I've got. Who do you think that someone that I said should be drafted, shouldn't, or should have been drafted, or shouldn't be drafted, should. And let us know what you want to see more of, guys. We've got some more team previews coming along. Make sure you give this video a like, and make sure you're subscribed if you're on YouTube, subscriber of an Apple podcast, and give us a 5-star rating. Make sure you hit those ratings, guys. We'd really appreciate it. And we will see you next time. Laters.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.